Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. We're going to talk about depression again today, dealing with depression. And this is part two of the message we started a week ago on dealing with depression. And I just want you to know, brothers and sisters, I'm going to be talking a little bit today about the status of your mind, the stability of your mind, the capacity and the attributes of your mind that God has given us. And so I may reflect a little bit on people taking medications, and I want you to know if you are in that situation, if you are in a category of taking psychotropic drugs for some type of instability or some kind of condition, psychiatric condition or psychological diagnosis, I want you to know that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, that Jesus does not condemn you. I do not condemn you. God has a plan for your life, and he wants you to be whole in spirit and in soul and in body. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that you be made whole and sanctified, complete in the day of Christ Jesus, in spirit and in soul and in body. And so part of your soul that God wants to make whole and complete is that part of your mind, your heart, your will, emotions, your personality, you might say, that is your soul, your psyche. And so it is God's will that you be whole in your mind. It is God's will that you not be fractured, that you not be unstable in all your ways, that you not be bipolar or tripolar or quadrupolar or whatever. God's will is that you be made whole and that you be able to face each day with confidence, in strength and in courage, knowing that the Lord God is with you, and knowing that you are able to meet each challenge each and every day as they come about, each and every day that you can get up and say, thank God for this day, and I'm going to meet the challenges of this day, and I'm going to look forward to this day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so God doesn't want us cowering in fear. He does not want us shrinking from the challenges of life. And so if you're in a category of the person that is taking medications and you're struggling with depression and you're struggling with anxiety and you're struggling with all kinds of instability and mental incapacity and instability, I want you to know this message is for you. And I want you to know there is no condemnation for whatever plan or program you're on right now. But I want you to know also that God has a plan that is better than man's plan, that God has a plan and a purpose for you, and his plan is better than man's plan, and he wants to see it come to pass. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he who called you. Faithful is God who called you, and he will do it. He will see it come to pass. So whatever God has declared over you and decreed over your life, whatever God has spoken over your life, trust him, beloved, trust him, and know for certain that God will help you accomplish and come to pass those things which he has decreed over your life and which he has declared over you. Well, Proverbs 12:25 is a key scripture for us here in dealing with depression and anxiety. Proverbs 12:25 tells us this: anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad, or makes the heart glad. And so we know that many times we've been given man's diagnosis, we've been given man's analysis of what causes depression and anxiety, and many times is just reduced down to a chemical imbalance or a hormone imbalance or some type of clinical, very cold clinical diagnosis. And that's man's version, that's man's explanation, but I want you to know that God has an explanation, and he says anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Well, anxiety is fear. It is undue fear, fear of the future, maybe fear of the past or things that might haunt you from the past, fear of the future. You're afraid of things that might happen. And I want you to know, brother and sister, Jesus Christ wants you to trust him. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, Trust Him. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, and He will make your path straight. Acknowledge Him in everything you do, and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So in all of your ways, don't lean on your own understanding, but lean on God. Lean on Jesus Christ and start trusting Him. Start believing in Him. Start looking to Him and crying out to Him. And when you do that and stop leaning on your own understanding of every situation, your own analysis, and just start trusting the Lord that He is able to take care of you in every situation, then God will see your calling come to pass. Faithful is He who called you, and He will do it. And so when you have anxiety, Philippians 4, 6, Paul said to the Philippians, he said, be anxious for nothing, or have anxiety for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto the Lord. And so instead of worrying about things, instead of fretting about things, instead of biting your fingernails or turning to drugs or turning to alcohol or turning to a smoking pot or whatever, when you have anxiety, why don't you try this? Get down on your knees and in all situations, in all things, in every circumstance, get down on your knees and start turning your burden, turning your care and your sorrows and your pain and your requests over to the Lord God and just say, God, I can't deal with this. It's too much for me, but You can. And God, I'm going to turn this over to You. I don't want to be in fear about this situation. I don't want to be anxious about my bills. I don't want to be anxious about my job or my boss or my coworkers or my walk with You, the spiritual walk that I have. Lord, I want to be able to trust You in every situation and in every circumstance. And when you do that, when you start to turn it over to the Lord, He says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, in prayer and supplication. Supplication is a plea for mercy. And we say, God, we don't deserve the treatment that we have from You in our sin and in our iniquity. We should be cast out. We should be dead. In the Old Testament, many times they stone people. And all we have to do is, in our sin and in our iniquity, say, God, forgive us. God, I accept Your forgiveness. I ask You to forgive me. I repent of my sin and take that anxiety away from me. Take that fear away from me. And in all things, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I thank You, Lord. I thank You. Pray believing as if you have already received. And so if you believe that you've already received, you will thank the Lord as you prayed. Lord, I don't see my change. I don't see, but I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. I believe for that which I can't see. I call into being that which does not exist. And I believe, Lord, that You're going to provide for those things that I can't see. And I'm going to step out and I'm going to thank You anyway, even though my change hasn't come. And as you give thanksgiving and you make your requests unknown, make your requests known to the Lord, then He will bless you, and the peace of God that passes all understanding, that peace that only a walk with the Lord can give you, that stillness in your heart, be still and know that I am God, that stillness and that peace then comes when you turn your burden and your fear and your anxiety over to the Lord. Well, I want you to know, brother and sister, that the battlefield is the mind. The devil wants to attack your mind. He wants to destroy your mind, and eventually he wants you to come against yourself and even to the point of destroying yourself. That's the ultimate victory for the devil, is when we agree with him that our life has no value, that our life has no purpose, that we might as well end our own life, and that is a victory for the devil. And I want you to know, God declares over you that you have a purpose, that you have a destiny and a calling uniquely suited to you, uniquely designed for you by God. And so the battlefield is in the mind, just as the devil came as a serpent and lied to Eve and said to her, you don't believe God wants to keep you away from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do you? You don't really believe God, do you? And so the battlefield always starts in the mind with questioning God, with questioning His purpose for your life. And the devil will come to you. He will lie to you. He will give you a little bit of truth and a whole lot of lie. And so the battlefield is in the mind. So Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10:3, He said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," or are not fleshly, "but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and casting down every imagination," or every argument, "and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Well, there's several sermons right there in that, in those three scriptures right there, those three passages of scripture. But basically what Paul is saying is that when the devil attacks us, when he attacks our mind, and everybody has this dialogue, this conversation going on in your mind, and it could be conversations ricocheting around in your mind of people that have cursed you, maybe people that have said you're a loser, you'll never amount to anything, or you are never going to fulfill any kind of calling or destiny that God has on your life. Many of us have been cursed or spoken against, and when we get these strongholds, these iniquities, these patterns of sinful behavior, and these patterns of depression and despair and disappointment and discouragement, those are strongholds in our soul. Those are the ways that we have made agreements with the devil, where he comes in and he sets up camp in our soul, and he binds us to those demonic agreements, and he leaves open the door for other demons to come in and harass us and torment us. And sometimes demon possession then takes place, where the devil is given enough opportunity and a large enough open door where he can actually take over a person's soul and spirit. And so when these strongholds come and the devil starts to speak to you, and he tells you you're a loser, that you can't do anything right, that you can't pay your bills, or you can't get a job, or you can't break this addiction, or whatever it is you're trying to break through, then that is a stronghold in your life. And Paul says that we are then to take up the weapons of God's warfare. And what are those weapons? There's three or four weapons in God's arsenal that come against these strongholds in our life. First one is prayer. Daily praying. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. So you need to be in prayer every single day, on your knees or as you're driving down the road or whatever time that you have. Spend some time in prayer talking to God. Unload on him. Just put your burdens on his shoulder and let Jesus carry your burdens. And secondly, you need to be in the Word and study God's Word. Back to Proverbs 12:25, a good word makes the heart glad. Well, where are you going to find a good word this day and age except by listening to the Word of God, either through the radio, radio broadcast, TV broadcast, reading it and in God's holy word, or maybe being around in the fellowship where people are encouraging each other, praying for each other, strengthening each other, exhorting each other to walk in the kingdom? And that's where the good word comes from. And so as we pull down strongholds, verse 5 in 2 Corinthians 10, it says that we cast down arguments and imaginations. That is, when your mind starts to race, you need to discipline your mind. When your mind starts to run with demonic thoughts and thoughts of lust and murder and hatred and self-hatred and self-rejection, when your mind starts to run, you discipline your mind and you bring every thought captive and every imagination captive that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus gives us his mind, tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct Jesus?" In other words, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may give Jesus instruction? Well, obviously no one has. No one has that mind. We have a human mind, but through the Holy Spirit, those of us who are saved and set aside, born again, we have the Holy Spirit of God to instruct us. So in a sense, we do have the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God that can be given to us by the Holy Spirit. But obviously nobody has the mind of Jesus. And then Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "But we have the mind of Christ." In other words, Jesus Christ has given us access through the Holy Spirit to his mind, to his knowledge, to the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, great faith, all those gifts of the Holy Spirit. We can have those through access or by access through the Holy Spirit to the mind of Christ. Well, last, brothers and sisters, we need to renew our minds. Paul says in Romans 12:2, he said, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." So do not be conformed to this world. In other words, when all you put into your mind is worldly things, whether it's TV or radio, country music or rock music or acid music or rap or whatever kind of music you're listening to, or a bunch of trash coming off the TV, when all you put into your mind is worldly things, brother and sister, that's all that's going to come out of your mind. Your mind is going to be full of trash. It's going to be full of pollution. It's going to be full of things that do not bring glory and honor to God. And so as you renew your mind, you renew it that by transforming your mind by the Word of God. You start to memorize Scripture. You start to read Scripture. You start to listen to Christian music, music that has uplifting themes and uplifting words, and your mind isn't then filled and polluted by a lot of trash and a bunch of vulgarity and rap music, and even country music has lots of themes of drinking and partying and taking out the last woman at the bar or whatever. But God says, when you look to me, when you look to me for the renewing of your mind, I will give you that which will build up your mind, that which will strengthen your mind, and that which will give you that stability that you can then be able to trust in Jesus Christ and be able to trust in your decisions and trust your own thinking. Well, it all comes down to spiritual warfare, which we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about the battlefield of the mind as it relates to spiritual warfare. I'm going to close with this passage of Scripture here in Ephesians 6:13, where Paul takes a time here to tell the Ephesians in the last chapter of Ephesians about the spiritual warfare, about the armor of God. He says, "Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Well, this is the evil day, beloved. This isn't as evil as it's going to get. It's going to get much worse. But I can tell you, this is the evil day, and you don't have to look very far or listen to the news very long to see evil is all around us, and it's in ways in the world, and even here in the United States, and it's in ways, and it's manifesting itself in ways that it has never before in the history of mankind. And I want you to know, beloved, this is a time of sorrows, Matthew 24:8, that we're just getting into the time of sorrows, the time of birth pangs, and you're going to see people's love grow cold. And because lawlessness is increased, you're going to see people's love for each other grow cold, and you will see evil like you've never seen it before. And we've seen just a foretaste, a harbinger of that. We've seen in the past couple of weeks about the Islamic State over in Iraq. They're beheading children and crucifying people and crucifying children. And this is just a harbinger of things to come. I hate to be a prophet of doom, but I think what you can see in the world is just a foretaste of the end days. And so as Paul says, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Well, this is the evil day. God wants you to be able to stand. He wants you to be able to stand with confidence. He wants you to be able to stand with boldness. He wants you to be able to stand with no fear, without having to rely on mountains of pills and drugs and shaking and in depression and despair. God wants to give you the hope that does not disappoint, that hope that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, if you don't know Jesus, today is a great day to come to know him. Today is the day. Now is the time. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you would do that today. I pray that you would just say to God, get down on your knees and say to God, "God, I trust you that you are who you say you are. I trust that you sent your son Jesus to die for me on the cross, that he shed his precious blood for me, that every single drop of blood was just for me and for my sins. And so I repent of my sins. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I turn from my wicked ways and I seek you, Lord, in every circumstance and in every aspect and facet of my life. I seek you, Lord, and you are worthy of my praise. And so as you do that, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ, do that today. Don't let this day pass you by without acknowledging Jesus as your Lord and Savior and repenting of your sins and turning to him. Follow it up with immersion baptism. Let me know if you make that kind of decision. I would be more than happy to correspond with you and to get you some material to start you on your Christian walk and head you in the direction of salvation and the kingdom pursuits that God has for you. It's all for you, brother and sister. It's your choice. It's your choice. God wants to take you into his kingdom for all eternity. Well, I thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.